invite you to take your Bibles for by way of introduction here tonight to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to continue our scriptural prayer study as we look at what I see people in the Bible as being people of prayer. And I believe it's something that we need to learn from their example. That's what we're looking at here. And as we continue looking at the example of Moses, and let me just say this, very few people in the Bible are described as a friend of God. There are those they talk about who prayed and who walked with God and so on, but for God to actually describe them as his friend, there's two in particular that come to my mind. Abraham, the friend of God, as the Bible says, and also Moses, who said, God himself said, I speak to Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. Now, as we consider then again the example of Moses as far as life of prayer, as we look at the Old Testament books that God the Holy Spirit used him to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the book of Leviticus is a book on offerings. We studied that a few months ago. And what's interesting is there's really no mention of prayer. In the book of Leviticus, there's some indirect mentions to it, but there's no mention of prayer. As we think about the consecration of priests and the feasts of Israel, there's really no mention of prayer as far as that's concerned. But as we think about the book of Leviticus, of course, it's approaching God through the sacrifice. Of course, Christ is pictured in those things. And the lesson I believe we see in that, as far as prayer, is that we cannot approach God until Christ's shed blood has been applied to my sin through repentance and faith. Of course, Jesus himself said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's not through Allah and Jesus. It's not through Confucius and Jesus. It's through Jesus Christ and him alone. Now notice Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. As we see here an application of this, being able to go into God's presence. And of course, specifically, we're talking about prayer as far as that. It says in verse 19, Hebrews chapter 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Also notice with me chapter 13 then, Hebrews chapter 13. Again, through Jesus Christ, we are able to approach unto God in prayer as we consider the application. Chapter 13, verse 10, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. All right, so there's a difference between those who serve the tabernacle were not automatically able to go into God's presence with this. As we think about, there's a distinction. It says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So again, we see that Jesus Christ is the one who prepares the way for us to be able to go into God's presence. Now, as we look at, again, the prayer life of Moses, notice with me the book of Numbers. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these because I've been preaching through the book of Numbers. But I want you to notice some things as far as his prayer life in particular. Numbers chapter 11. So first of all, we see here tonight that Moses prayed when he was discouraged. All right, so when we're in distress, how do we respond? What do we do? When we're in distress, how do we respond? Notice with me, Numbers chapter 11, verse 11. As we think about some of the things that Moses was dealing with here, of course, the murmuring and grumbling and complaining as far as the Israelites were concerned, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Notice his honesty as he's talking to the Lord here. And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. So again, we notice here he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. But he's in distress. He's discouraged. He's dealing with these people that are constantly murmuring and complaining. I want you to notice an example of this also in Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. My personal Bible reading, listening to on the way to work. I've been doing that on the way to work here. It's hard to get up at 3:30 in the morning to do all this. So I've been using that half hour on the way to work to listen to my Bible reading. Notice with me, Job, as I've been reading through this and reminded of some things here. Job chapter 6. So we see here the distress that Job is experiencing here. Of course, Job experienced trials. I don't think any of us could say that we've experienced that many trials all in one day. You know, while he was yet speaking. I mean, that's the kind of rapid fire trials that he experienced. You know, his children dead and just like that, and losing everything financially. Just like that. Notice here it says in verse 8 of chapter 6, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." In other words, he wanted to die. "Then should I have comfort, yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One." You think about Elijah also, as he was dealing with the attack from Jezebel. Now, I want you to notice Psalm 103. This is why I wanted to share this. I want you to see how God looks at some of these things. You know, God knows what we're thinking, so we might as well tell him. And again, we have to remember that we're going before the holy God of heaven. But at the same time, there's something that God understands about us because he's the one who created us. It says in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Notice this in verse 14, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." God knows what we're made of. God knows when we are in distress. God knows when we're discouraged. God knows those things. So it's better to actually go to God and pour out our heart than to get bitter at God and say, well, okay, I don't want to talk to you, God. You notice again, pray when you're discouraged and in distress. Second of all, also pray from a spirit of meekness. Notice Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. We saw this a few weeks ago, but I want you to notice something here again, verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, of course, after Miriam and Aaron confront him, of course, the Lord's anger is kindled in verse 9. You remember Miriam was made leprous, became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, verse 10, "And behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned." Now, pause there just a moment. Most would say, you got what you deserved, didn't you? Confront me. It's like, I didn't want this position. God's the one who gave it to me. So you're going to confront me. That's what Moses could have done in the flesh. But you notice here, this spirit of meekness did not seek revenge. In fact, verse 12 says, "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." Notice now Moses pleads for Miriam's healing. "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." Notice there's no resentment. There's no revenge that he desires. He prays from a spirit of meekness. Let me just say this. When we're praying for those who may be despitefully using us, reviling us, those are some of the words that Jesus used. How do we respond when we pray? All right, so when somebody wrongs us, how do we respond? I want you to consider that Moses prayed in a spirit of meekness. He did not desire revenge. He did not have resentment towards his brother and sister. So praying with a spirit of meekness. Also pray that God's name will be honored. Chapter 14, we saw this a couple of weeks ago. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. Of course, as we saw, Moses was given another opportunity to for God to start over with him. It says here in verse 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. As we saw, Moses decides, you know what, God, that's not a good idea. But I want you to consider what Moses was most concerned with as far as God is concerned. He was not self-seeking. He was concerned about the name of God. It says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up. Remember, God, you brought the people up in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. That thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them. Therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Now, I want you to consider that as Moses is praying this here, he's not concerned about himself. He's not seeking for things for himself. He's concerned about the name of God, the reputation and the honor of God's name. What is our highest motivation when we pray? Is it for things for us, or are we asking God to do something, to act according to what his word has to say, so that his name will be glorified and honored? Is that our motivation in prayer? I think of Moses. Moses is not seeking things for himself. He's only concerned about God's name being honored. Consider something else here, and I believe this is an interesting one as far as our nation is concerned, starting to do a lot of talking about, next president and all that kind of stuff. Notice me on Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. See here Moses, of course, near the end of his life. He's praying for God's leader for the nation. Let me just say this. I have this note written down in my notes here. Praying for the leader of the nation is more important than our vote. I am not saying we should not vote. But praying for God's leader for a nation is more important than voting for that leader. I want you to consider that we're calling on God to reveal his leader. And you notice it says here in Numbers 27, verse 15, as Moses prepares to end his life, it says here in verse 15, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, over the nation of Israel, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Notice here, then God reveals his choice to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, of course, he anoints him and so on. I want you to consider here, he's praying for God's leader for a nation. As we, again, are in elections, it just seems like election season gets earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier in our nation. When a president is in office, it seems like he's constantly on campaign. But you notice here, though, the importance of praying for God's choice as far as a leader. Another thing here, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 3, submit yourself to God's answer when you plead with God for an answer. I want you to notice here, of course, as we know in the book of Numbers, Moses forfeited the opportunity to cross over into the promised land. I really believe Moses was discouraged about that, and he was really hoping that God would change his mind. And I want you to notice it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 and following. do we truly pray, Lord willing? It says here, verse 23, and I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, notice that title of God there, Adonai, notice it's not all capital letters in Lord, Adonai, Jehovah, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works, according to thy might? I pray thee. Notice his request here. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land. Notice he's not even asking for God to allow him to lead the nation of Israel to conquer the land. But I just want to go over the Jordan to see that good land, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But notice the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. Notice God says, nope, stop asking about it. No, you cannot ask that. Notice, was wroth with me and says, would not hear me. The Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Notice, submit yourself to my answer. But then he does allow him to be able to see it from a distance. Get thee up in the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He was asking God to be able to cross Jordan to be able to see the land. I'm assuming he just said, well, at least allow me, Lord, to be able to just kind of walk through the land, and then you can take me. And let me remind you, at 120 years old, Moses was still in his strength. He had the physical strength to be able to lead Israel. So he's asking God for his change of God's purpose with that. And God says, no, I won't hear you on that. Notice to me chapter 34 then. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. Now, I don't know if he just saw it in the distance, or if, like a lot of prophets of God, they had an opportunity, like Ezekiel and some of them, to be able to actually be transported to see it all. I don't know. I don't know if it was a supernatural thing here or not. I don't know that the Bible really is clear in this. But it says, the south of the plain valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. However this takes place, he has an opportunity to see it from a distance. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Do we truly submit ourselves to God's answer? You know, when we ask God for something, do we get all pouty when God doesn't answer it the way we think? I came across a poem as I was doing some reading. He answered prayer not in the way I sought, nor in the way that I thought he ought, but in his own good way, and I could see. He answered in the fashion best for me. Do we submit ourselves to God's answer? I don't believe it's wrong to ask for something according to, the word of God, according to the will of God and so on. But then as God answers, are we willing to submit ourselves to his answer? Next, I want you to consider that we must influence the next generation in prayer. Let's be Exodus 24, verse 13. I want you to imagine Joshua observing Moses talking to God face to face, as a man talks with his friend. Now, I don't believe we're going to see the same types of things, obviously, because we don't believe we're charismatics and see a vision of the Lord and all those kinds of things. But I want you to consider, are we influencing the next generation in regards to prayer? Exodus 24, verse 13. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, And notice, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. There's more than one occasion where we see that Joshua was with Moses when he met with the Lord. Notice with me Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. This is that one verse in particular that I was talking about earlier, about Moses being a friend of God. Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but notice this statement. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So here's Joshua with Moses as God is speaking from the cloudy pillar and so on. The presence of God here on this earth. As Moses goes back out into the camp, notice Joshua stays there. Notice he has an opportunity to observe Moses talking with God. Now, as far as the life of Joshua in prayer, I want for us to consider. First of all, I believe we as parents and grandparents and so on, and that's why I believe it's important for us to make sure our young people are with adults in our prayer meetings and so on. Because I really believe we need to influence the next generation of prayer, for prayer, I should say. But I want you to consider, though, that Joshua was not quite the, as I see it in Joshua, I may be reading this wrong, but Joshua is not quite the man of prayer that Moses was. I want you to consider a couple of lessons here, three lessons in the book of Joshua. Notice chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. All right, so we notice here, first of all, when facing an assignment from God, Joshua spent time with the Lord. Now, I want you to notice here, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Of course, this is just before Battle of Jericho. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Ooh, that did some shaking in your sandals, right? And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he says, neither. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I really believe this is Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. Notice he's the captain of the Lord's hosts. In other words, he's the captain of the armies of heaven. Am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. That sounds like Moses meeting with the Lord. You notice here, when he's facing this big assignment from God about Jericho, he's on his face and he's spending time with the Lord. Now, consider, though, something else here, though. Beware of not seeking God's direction. Notice chapter 7, Joshua chapter 7. This is why I say that Joshua was not quite the man of prayer that Moses was. So there was a something lacking into the next generation here. Of course, then we look at the book of Judges, and we see it's even worse. But you notice here, Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the cursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. We'll look at that here in a moment. But I want you to consider this self-reliance or this self-confidence that we see in this passage here. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Notice what happens when they return. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000. Remember, there's like 600,000 who are ready for battle. We only need 2,000 or 3,000 men to go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went thither, the people, about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai. Can you show me in this passage where they even went to the Lord and asked for his direction on that? You think about the self-confidence. You know, God, I don't really need your help on this one. I can handle this. So that's exactly what 1 Corinthians 13 says When thou thinkest thou standest, take heed lest thee fall. It's not your weak side as much as your strong side sometimes that we need to watch. Notice here, you know, Joshua, I think 2,000 or 3,000, we'll take care of it. No reliance upon God, and they were humiliated as they ran from the men of Ai. It says in verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all people go up. Verse 4, so went up thither 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from the gate even to the of Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. That's exactly what happens when we're self-confident. When we fall flat on our faces, it's like, what happened, Lord? And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Now, that's what they should have done before they went to Ai. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh, boy, Joshua's starting to talk like some of the murmurers and complainers now, right? Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around. They're going to surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Now, I want you to consider here as he's dealing with this self-confidence. But I want you to consider also then in verse 11 and 12, sometimes prayer is out of order. You know, of course, we know that Achan had taken the accursed things. But it says here, Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. Remember, Jericho was to be given to the Lord as an offering to God. And assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Of course, they deal with the family of Achan. Now, here's what I want you to see, though. There was self-confidence. I want you to consider, though, that there's times when prayer is the wrong response. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about prayer. Notice what God says to Joshua. Get up off your face. There's something you need to deal with. Notice we need to deal with the things that affect the power of God. How many times have we allowed something into our lives, maybe into our families, that hinder God's power being able to work when we pray? One other example here, Joshua chapter 9. We need to pray so we're not deceived. We live in a day of deception. We need to pray more than ever before. Joshua chapter 9, verse 3. The inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai. Of course, Ai was defeated then. They did work wilily. They were sneaky. They were tricky, crafty. They did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. And old shoes and clouted upon their feet. And old garments upon them. And notice all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. So they made it look like they've been on a long journey. Notice here in this passage, there's nothing indicated as far as praying for God's direction and discernment in this. It says here in chapter 9, verse 14. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. I wonder how many times we've made bad decisions. We've had a lack of discernment just because we didn't ask for the Lord's direction. We didn't ask for the Lord's wisdom, His insight and understanding. Of course, they ended up being trapped, you know, to be people of their word. They had to honor the arrangements, the covenant that they made with the people of Gibeon. But they should not have done that. They should have been people that were either driven out or destroyed. But I want you to consider here Moses as a friend of God. He sought to influence Joshua. And there's times when Joshua did not quite become the man of prayer that Moses was. Young people, I want you to listen very carefully here. Learn at your age to become a person of prayer.
Well, yeah, I will when I grow up.
No, when you grow up, you won't want to. You'll get busy working. You'll get busy trying to make money, trying to earn a living. You'll have all of these things. Now is the age when you spend time with God in prayer and Bible reading. Now is the time when you learn those things. When I had the boys up here in the office, it was interesting to see at least some of the boys using the ACTS that I've taught. That encouraged my heart. So sometimes the boys say, thank you, Lord, for this, thank you for this, before they ask for the requests. Why is it that so many times, Lord, give me, Lord, give me, Lord, give me, Lord, give me, thank you very much. It's like God is some vending machine in the sky. Let me ask you, do you think God really is listening to that? All I'm good for, God thinks, is for me to give people something. God, give me this. God, give me this. God, give me this. God, give me this. I don't think God is really listening to those prayers. So that's why I want our young people to learn. And parents, I want you to consider. There's a lot of things you can teach your children as they're growing up. I believe one of the biggest things you need to teach them is how to have a time with God that makes a difference in their lives. Father, I pray that you'd help us become people of prayer. Lord, I enjoy looking at the examples of Abraham and Moses and some of these men of God who obviously, as we see in your word, were people of prayer. Doesn't mean they were perfect. But God, they knew how to get a hold of you. They knew how to get before you in your presence. And Lord, there were some things, big requests that they brought before you. So Lord, help us to be able to reach the next generation. Lord, I think of Joshua in the presence of Moses and God speaking face to face. Lord, do our young people see the adults of our church knowing how to get before your presence to get your ear as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Lord, even as we spend time in prayer tonight, I pray that you'd help us. Consider these things in Jesus' name.